मांसकपटुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैव च पतितनं पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। Pranjana, the living entity within a material body, after seeking material pleasure in this world, and after experiencing some pleasure, some misery, etc., he dies. What does death mean? Death means that the soul, accompanied by the subtle body, the mind, intelligence, false ego, false conception of oneself, it leaves the body. The body is no longer suitable in proper working order to be able to maintain life. So the soul, not being able to function within the material body, leaves that body when it is no longer able to function. The body is no longer able to function. The soul leaves that body. But he does not leave alone. He leaves accompanied by his mind. And within the mind are so many desires, so many tendencies. And according to what fills the mind at the time of the departure of the soul from the body, the soul will take another body. The Bhagavad Gita explains this in the 15th chapter. Adishtayam manaschayam visya upasevate. So Paranjana left the soul, left the body, and then because he was thinking of his wife at the time of his death, he became a woman. And because he had performed so many pious activities, he took his birth as a princess. But he was no longer a he. So, became a princess. The soul inhabited a princess's body. And that princess, named Vidarbhi, married a great pious king named Malayadwaj. And Malayadwaj was a great, great devotee. And when he ruled his kingdom for some time, for a long time, of course, there's a whole allegory connected with this story. And then when his sons became old enough, he passed the kingdom on to the ruling of the kingdom onto them, and he himself went to the forest. For what purpose? Because in living in our life, we naturally, it must happen that we get entangled in so many desires, material desires. So in preparation for death, which is inevitable for everyone, an intelligent person will leave the situation that he's within, which is very entangling and which is full of its comforts, but especially it's entangling. And the person will go somewhere and very, very seriously focus his consciousness on spiritual topics and realize something spiritual with his life. Because usually our life, what is it spent doing? Most people, it's just trying to find some happiness, trying to find first friends, and then a wife, and then children, and the money, and then the fame, etc., etc. Something to do that's satisfying. And everyone is thinking in terms, only in terms of the pleasure of the mind and the pleasure of the body. sensual pleasure, mental pleasure, intellectual pleasure. But the soul is neglected in people's lives. So therefore, at least at the last part of one's life, one should leave the entanglement of the life that he's been leading, and then focus his consciousness in the spiritual. So Malayadwaj, the king, did this. And he took with him his queen, Vidarbhi, into the forest, who was Paranjana. So Vidarbhi was her name, no longer Paranjana. So she served her husband in the forest as they practiced a very austere life. Because what happens when we practice austerity? You know, do things that are difficult. If we fasting, eating whatever is available, the roots and the fruits of the and the leaves of the forest, and it's cold and it's sleeping on the hard ground. What will happen? If you survive. No, but before that, what happens? What happens when you try to do something that you don't feel like doing?
Mind becomes...
Yeah, it starts really acting up and giving you 50,000 reasons why you shouldn't be doing what you're doing, all the reasons. So the point is that we have to neglect the mind and focus it, habituated to focus on the spiritual. So Malayadwaj, assisted by Vidarbhi, they practiced austerities. And gradually the king became very realized. So text 42. King Malayadwaj could thus observe, this is what his realizations were. He could observe that the Supersoul was sitting by his side. Within everyone's heart, there is the Soul and the Lord. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Riddhishaya Arjuna Tishtati. And that he, as the individual soul, was sitting by the side of the Supersoul. Since both were together, there was no need for separate interests. Thus he ceased from such activities. The idea being that at this time, we have a separate interest from the service of Krishna, of God. We have our own interests, our own desires, our own concept. But there's no need, is the point. In fact, it is inappropriate. Because if we have desires separate from Krishna, that means the mind acting up in that way, then we'll be in so much difficulty in this life and in future lives. We'll read some of Prabhupada's purport to this verse. So Malayadwaj ceased those activities of separate interest. Prabhupada's purport. In the advanced stage of devotional service, the devotee does not see anything separate between his own interests and those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both interests become one, for the devotee does not act for a separate interest. His interest becomes one with Krishna's interest. In other words, he surrenders to God. Whatever he does in the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, he sees everything in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything. He becomes very, very advanced in spiritual consciousness. Having attained this stage of understanding, he sees no distinction between the spiritual and material world. He sees everything as Krishna's, and he sees Krishna everywhere. And where does this come from? His giving up his self-interest and giving himself to Krishna's interest. This is a very advanced stage, and this is where bhakti actually begins. Sitan, could you ask them to be a little more subdued? So Malayadwaj surrendering to Krishna, used everything in Krishna's service and saw nothing any longer as material, because he saw everything as Krishna's. So what a wonderful, so he was becoming extremely exalted in consciousness. So the daughter, text 43, of King Vidarbha accepted her husband as all in all as the supreme. She gave up all sensual enjoyment, and in complete renunciation followed the principles of her husband. So she became similarly also advanced, who was so advanced. Thus she remained engaged in his service. Purport. Figuratively, King Malayadwaj is the spiritual master, and his wife, Vidarbha, is the disciple. The disciple accepts the spiritual master as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Guru Vas Tak Shak Shad Hadi Twaina. One directly accepts the Guru, the spiritual master, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should accept the spiritual master not in the sense that the Mayavadi philosophers do, but in the way recommended here. Since the spiritual master is the most confidential servant of the Lord, he should be treated exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual master should never be neglected or disobeyed like an ordinary person. So she accepted him as good as God, directly, Shakshat Hari, directly the Lord, but not as the Lord, but as the representative of the Lord, whom she was receiving instructions from Krishna through, and whom she served Krishna through. So in that sense, she saw him as Krishna, just like in the United Nations, when whoever the representative of Australia is, or the United States, or any country, when he says they're taking a vote in the Security Council or the other councils, and they say all in favor, and Australia votes yes. But it's by one man. He's saying yes, and it's like the country voting. So he's directly, because he's in that position, that authorized position, he's directly the country. Even though we know clearly he's not a country, he has no mountains, no rivers, and he doesn't have millions and millions of people. But yet, when he votes yes, the country is voting yes. So similarly, the spiritual master is authorized, as the representative of the country is authorized, to represent the Lord, to give instructions, and to accept service. And the spiritual master's job is to be transparent in this regard. So in that sense, he's Shakshad Hari. He is no different from the Lord, directly the Lord. Text 44. So the daughter of King Vidarbha wore old garments, and she was lean and thin because of her vows of austerity. Since she did not arrange her hair, it became entangled and twisted in locks. Although she remained always near her husband, she was as silent and unagitated as the flame of an undisturbed fire. So both the husband and the wife, they were just fixed. Their minds were pure and fixed. So this is, Prabhupada explains in the purport, this is called vanaprastha life, where there's the husband and wife, they practice austerities, they're both senior, they're both advanced, and both become free from physical attachment. And they're advancing towards the next stage, which is known as Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa, what does Paramahamsa literally mean? Edward, could you open the window a little bit? Or the door? Yeah. And what is this Supreme Swan stage? Why is it called the Supreme Swan?
Because the swan can separate milk from
it. Yeah, so in amidst a solution of milk and water, the swan can just separate that, the milk. So what is the meaning of that? And why is it the next stage, or the exalted stage, called Paramahamsa stage? Why is it Paramahamsa stage? Radharaman? Radharaman?
A person on that stage within this world can expect the spiritual essence.
Yeah, exactly. That the essence of this world is spiritual, but due to illusion and feeling that this world, what is it meant for me and my enjoyment? So covered by illusion and missing the essence of the world, and the essence of the world is that it's the energy of Krishna. It's that sense. It's not different from Krishna. Krishna, yeah, to see Krishna in this world is a manifestation. Ishtadeva Spurti. So that's a very exalted stage in consciousness, when one's consciousness is very, very purified. So before one can come to that stage, one has to neglect all the tendencies of the mind that are demanding, I want this, I want this, I want that. Gimme, 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 gimme. So all that is has to be neglected, and that's called austerity. And then one can elevate one's consciousness when one is detached from those things and the mind becomes quiet and peaceful. Then one can give up the spirit that this world and or life even and my consciousness, everything is just meant for me, and enter a different stage of consciousness, of love for Krishna, service to Krishna. So then one is like the supreme swan. So she was serving her husband, who was a great devotee. The daughter of King Vidarbha continued as usual to serve her husband, who was seated in a steady posture. So he was practicing some asana, some posture, mystic yoga, until she could ascertain that he had passed away from his body. While she was serving her husband by massaging his legs, she could feel that his feet were no longer warm and could thus understand that he had already passed from the body. She felt great anxiety because she was out in the forest caring for her beloved husband, who was a great devotee, and he was so exalted, and she was becoming exalted, and she was exalted too. And then he left this world, the soul, left the body. Remember, there's an analogy going on. So how did she feel? She was alone in the forest. She felt completely alone. She felt great anxiety upon being left alone. Bereft, and what to speak of the one she loved him so dearly. Bereft of her husband's company, she felt exactly as the deer feels upon being separated from its mate. Helpless, on a material sense. Being now alone and a widow in that forest, the daughter of Vidarbha began to lament, incessantly shedding tears, which soaked her breasts, and crying very loudly. There's Prabhupada's purport. Figuratively, the queen is supposed to be the disciple of the queen of the king. Thus, when the mortal body of the spiritual master expires, his disciple should cry exactly as the queen cries when the king leaves his body. However, the disciple and spiritual master are never separated, because the spiritual master always keeps company with the disciple as long as the disciple follows strictly the instructions of the spiritual master. This is called the association of vani, or words. Physical presence is called vapu. As long as the spiritual master is physically present, the disciple should serve the physical body of the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master is no longer physically existing, the disciple should serve the instructions of the spiritual master. So Vidarbha began to speak. O best of kings, please get up. Get up. Just see this world surrounded by water and infested with rogues and so-called kings. This world is very much afraid, and it is your duty to protect her. Purport. Whenever an acharya comes, a great, great teacher comes, following the superior orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or his representative, he establishes the principles of religion as enunciated in Bhagavad Gita. Religion means abiding by the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the mission of a great teacher, is that on superior order he comes. And what does he do? He establishes the mission of the Lord. Because as the world tends to be so materialistic and religious principles tend to be fogged over in time. People, instead of understanding the previous instructions of the Lord that were given at a different time or even through holy books like the Bhagavad Gita, they misinterpret and they forget the essence. They think there's a materialistic point of religion. They forget that which is to be gained by spiritual life is on the spiritual eternal platform. And everything becomes confused and thinking things like that the purpose of life is some type of enjoyment, especially that. And God and the Supreme's business and the purpose of religion and spirituality is get these type of benefits, material benefits. So things are fogged over. So great teachers are sent by the Lord to reestablish the principles of religion. Yada yada hidamasya ghaniyar bhavita bharata bhutana madamasya tatapmaham sri jamyaham. So religion means abiding by the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prabhupada explains. It means, as Prabhupada explains in the next sentence, religious principles begin from the time one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Means the giving of the soul, our giving ourselves with full-hearted love and devotion to Krishna, to God, that is actually the purpose of religion, and that is what religion actually is. It is the charge's duty, the great teacher's duty, is to spread a bona fide religious system and induce everyone to bow down before the Supreme Lord. Induce everyone to understand their position and relationship with Krishna. One executes the religious principles by rendering devotional service, especially the 9 items like hearing, chanting, and remembering. Unfortunately, when the acharya disappears, rogues and non-devotees take advantage and immediately begin to introduce unauthorized principles in the name of so-called swamis, yogis, philanthropists, welfare workers, and so on. Actually, human life is meant for executing the orders of the Supreme Lord, and this is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. So what are the orders of the Supreme Lord? Human life is meant to execute the orders of the Supreme Lord, and this is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. So now Prabhupada is going to state what the orders are. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evyashati yuktavam atmanam matparayana. engage your mind always in thinking of me and becoming and become my devotee. So this is the order of the Supreme Lord, that we should become Krishna conscious. We should become conscious of Krishna, and we should taste the sweetness of giving up false consciousness, false, artificial, artificially imposed consciousness, and giving ourselves with full loving devotion and service to Krishna. That is what religion is, and that is what the Lord's order is. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee. So become a lover of Krishna. Offer obeisances and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, become completely absorbed in Krishna. What does that mean, to become absorbed in Krishna? When can you think of a time you were completely absorbed in something? Yeah. What's another example?
Someone you like very much.
Yeah. When you do your art, do you become completely absorbed in it? Yeah. Can you think of something you get completely absorbed? Yeah. Computer games, or the internet sometimes. What else?
Distress.
Absorbed in the mind. So when that happens, so there's some characteristics. One characteristic is you lose your sense of self, isn't it? But you're still an individual. It's not you lose your individuality, but you put so much of your self into that thing or activity, and it's really mostly a mental thing, not a physical. That you become one with it in one sense, but you don't lose your individuality. So in that sense, Krishna is saying we should become completely absorbed in him. What does that mean now? Completely absorbed? What does that mean, to become completely absorbed in Krishna?
Mean that nothing else enters your mind.
Yeah. So what state is that? Deep, deep, loving love. Full, complete, deep love, where we're so completely absorbed in him. And how to become absorbed in him? Because first of all, we have to hear about him and see him. If we don't know anything about Krishna, how is it possible we could become absorbed in him? So some knowledge is required. And then the relationship has to develop. And then to become completely absorbed in Krishna. And the result of that, Krishna explains, Atmanam Matparayana. Surely, Mam Evyasyasi Yuktaiva. Surely you will come to me. This is the price. The price that it required to go to the spiritual world. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji namaskar. Engage your mind in always thinking of me and become my devotee. Offer obeisances and worship me, being completely absorbed in me. So these are the elements of a complete absorption. Surely you will come to me. The main business of human society is to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at all times, to become his devotee, to worship the Supreme Lord, and to bow down before him. In other words, to give oneself fully to him. So this is the principle, these are the principles of religion that the great teachers establish and re-establish and re-establish. That this is what life, human life, is meant for. Only this. This is the capacity of the soul expressed to its fullest, uncovered capacity, fully actualized soul. So the perfect disciple, the acharya, the authorized representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, establishes these principles. But when he disappears, things once again become disordered. When he leaves this world, the lower principles become again prominent. Why? Because it's just the nature of the material world. That's why. The perfect disciples of the acharya try to relieve the situation by sincerely following the instructions of the spiritual master. At the present moment, practically the entire world is afraid of rogues and non-devotees. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement has started to save the world from irreligious principles. So if one is going to save the world from irreligious principles, what's the first step? Yes.
Save oneself.
To become free from irreligious principles. And then, so sometimes we've spent too much time saving the world and not enough time becoming free from irreligion ourselves, and the result is problematic, mixed. Everyone should cooperate with this movement in order to bring about actual peace and happiness in the world. So important purports from Prabhupada. So, Vidabhi was crying and feeling deep separation from the Malayadwaj, the king. And Prabhupada is explaining the points, the allegorical points. That most obedient wife thus fell down at the feet of her dead husband and began to cry pitifully in that solitary forest. Thus the tears rolled down from her eyes. Prabhupada's one sentence purport. Just as a devoted wife becomes afflicted at the passing away of her husband, when a spiritual master passes away, the disciple becomes similarly bereaved. 50. She then prepared a blazing fire with firewood and placed the dead body of her husband upon it. When this was finished, she lamented severely and prepared herself to perish in the fire with her husband. Prabhupada explains in the purport. A devoted disciple of the spiritual master would rather die with the spiritual master than fail to execute the spiritual master's mission. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes down upon this earth to reestablish the principles of religion, so his representative, the spiritual master, also comes to reestablish religious principles. It is the duty of the disciple to take charge of the mission of the spiritual master and execute it properly. Otherwise, the disciple should decide to die along with the spiritual master. In other words, to execute the will of the spiritual master, the disciple should be prepared to lay down his life and abandon all personal considerations. So this is the high price of being pure. We tend to want to be pure without paying the price, and therefore we don't get the result. So Prabhupada is speaking, as the acharya speaks, very, very, very clearly and simply on a very, very high level. So we understand what spiritual life actually is and what ideal is. So what happens if we can't follow to the highest ideal level? We shouldn't change the principle of what ideal is. And rather, under proper guidance, one should do the best one can, but in such a way that he's aimed in the right direction. So if one can't be exalted, one should take a humble position in such a way that one will gradually lose the contaminations that one has, the impurities that one has. Just like it's better if one doesn't get married. It's often said this. Why? Because life is so much simpler if one doesn't get married. One doesn't get entangled in so many things. One only has one mind to deal with. Instead of two, then three, then four, and onward, so many. But if one can't, doesn't have the strength of character to just to remain simple and uncomplicated in that way, then one should get married. Not bluff, make believe that one is more pure than one is and then get oneself into trouble. But one should get married, but one should get married in a religious way so that one can make further advancement and not go backwards and lose the purpose of his life. So that itself is a great sacrifice too. And then one has to earn money if one's married. So one should earn one's money in a proper way so that one doesn't become entangled, further entangled. One has to point. You may not be able to go straight, but you should go as close to straight in that direction as possible. Just like if we have to go from here to some other city, we can just start going in the opposite direction. But then it will take so long to get to where we want to go. Rather, what we should do, if we can't go the direct highway, we should go as close as possible to it. So we don't get off track and we keep always the goal in mind. And what is the goal? Prabhupada is saying so clearly. Completely give oneself to Krishna. Manmana Baba Manbhato. And the order from Krishna is coming in relationship to Krishna's representative, the spiritual master. So as this was going on, as the queen was lamenting and crying and burning the body of her husband, preparing to leave this world herself, because the heat of separation was worse, the pain of the separation was worse than the pain of the fire. So Narada Muni is explaining to King Prithini Bharishat, "My dear king, one Brahmana, who is an old friend of King Paranjana, came to that place and began to pacify the queen with sweet words." An old friend came. Purport: the appearance of an old friend in the form of a Brahmana is very significant. In his Paramatma feature, means the Lord in everyone's heart, Krishna is the old friend of everyone. See, this was explained right in the beginning of the pastime of Paranjana, that he had one old friend named, I think it was named, anyone remember? Avijja or something like that, the unknown one. So he's an old friend. Krishna is everyone's oldest friend. Everyone's oldest friend, but he's unknown to us. We don't know Krishna, but he knows us. What I'll do first is I'll read all the verses in this section, and then we'll go back and read the purports. We won't finish them today, but tomorrow we'll continue. One Brahmana came and began to pacify the queen with sweet words. This is all very important. The Brahmana inquired as follows. "Who are you? Whose wife or daughter are you? Who is the man lying here? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. Don't you recognize me? I am your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me." Krishna in everyone's heart is this Brahmana. my dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer of this material world. My dear gentle friend, both you and I are exactly like two swans. We live together in the same heart, which is just like the Manasa Lake. Although we have been living together for many thousands of years, we are still far away from our original home. My dear friend, you are now my very same friend. Since you left me, you have become more and more materialistic. And not seeing me, you have been traveling in different forms throughout this material world, which was created by some woman. In that city, the material body, there are 5 gardens, 9 gates, 1 protector, 3 apartments, 6 families, 5 stores, 5 material elements, and 1 woman who is lord of the house. My dear friend, the 5 gardens are the 5 objects of sense enjoyment, and the protector is the life air which passes through the 9 gates. The 3 apartments are the chief ingredients, fire, water, and earth. The 6 families are the aggregate total of the mind and 5 senses. The 5 stores are the 5 working sensory organs. They transact their business through the combined forces of the 5 elements, which are eternal. Behind all this activity is the soul. The soul is the person and an enjoyer in reality. However, because he is now hidden within this city of the body, he is devoid of knowledge. My dear friend, when you enter such a body, when the soul enters the body along with the woman of material desires, you become overly absorbed in sense enjoyment. And because of this, you have forgotten your spiritual life. Due to your material conceptions, you are placed in various miserable conditions, birth after birth after birth, and even within this life. Actually, the old friend said, you are not the daughter of Vidarbha, nor is this man, Malayadwaja, your well-wishing husband. Nor were you the actual husband of Paranjani. You are simply captivated in this body of 9 gates. Sometimes you think yourself a man, sometimes you think yourself a chaste woman, and sometimes a neutral eunuch. This is all because of the body, which is created by the illusory energy. This illusory energy is my potency. Not mine, but Krishna's. And actually, both of us, you and I, are pure spiritual identities. One is great, the Lord is great, and the living entity is tiny, but both are composed qualitatively spiritual. Now try to understand this. I am trying to explain our factual position. So that's the situation. So this is Krishna through the heart. We'll read a purport. The appearance of an old friend in the form of a Brahmin is very significant. In his Paramatma feature, Krishna is the old friend of everyone. Paramatma is the Lord in the heart. According to Vedic injunction, Krishna is sitting within the living entity side by side. According to the Shruti mantra, Vas Supana Sayuja Sakkaya, 2 birds who are Sayuja, one something. The Lord is sitting within the heart of every living entity as Sudit, the best friend. The Lord is always eager to have the living entity come home back to Godhead. Sitting with the living entity as witness, the Lord gives him all chance to enjoy himself materially. But whenever there is an opportunity, the Lord gives good counsel and advises the living entity to abandon what? Abandon trying to become happy through material adjustment. And instead turn his face towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender unto him. When one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That determination is the price. Because in that full commitment, one will become absorbed. And in that absorption, one will see Krishna, as we've heard. One is surrendered. As explained before, this means meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the instruction of the spiritual master. This is technically called Vani Seva. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states in his Bhagavad Gita commentary on the verse Vyavya Satmika Buddhi Ekaha Kuru Nandana that one should serve the words of the spiritual master. The disciple must stick to whatever the spiritual master orders. Simply by following on that line, one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, appeared before the Queen as a Brahmana. But why didn't he appear in his original form as Sri Krishna? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that unless one is very highly elevated in his loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot see him as he is. Nonetheless, if one sticks to the principles enunciated by the spiritual master, somehow or another he is in the association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the Lord is in the heart, he can advise a sincere disciple. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yena mamupi antite. To those who are constantly devoted and who worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. In conclusion, if a disciple is very serious to execute the mission of the spiritual master, he immediately associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by Vani or Vapu. This is the only secret of success in seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead of being eager to see the Lord in some bush of Vrindavan, while at the same time engaging in sense gratification, if one instead sticks to the principle of following the words of the spiritual master, he will see the Supreme Lord without difficulty. Any questions or comments? So this is the standard of purity. So if one is able to do this, rather than being proud, he'll be very humble. Because he'll see himself not really able to follow the standard properly. Any questions or comments? Graham? I'm not sure what you mean. How do you explain meditation with Krishna in your heart? Did that come up in this? I don't think so either. What does it mean to meditate on Krishna in the heart? Or what is the requirement? What is the process? Which? How do you do it? Well, basically the process we use is to chant Krishna's name and to hear Krishna's name. And then when one is more advanced in focusing his consciousness on Krishna's name, one naturally will also focus on Krishna's form. And then one's, and that expands to Krishna's qualities and his pastimes, his lila. And all of these are very sweet. That's the basic process. But we also focus on the deity form, and that was described earlier as well. But what's being recommended here is not direct focusing on Krishna, but focusing on the order of Krishna's representative, spiritual master, and meditating upon that order as service to Krishna. And Krishna appears in that order. Prabhupada explains that. He's an association. If one sticks to the principles enunciated by the spiritual master, somehow or another, he's in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the spiritual master is representing. So he's carrying Krishna's internal energy, the spiritual potency of devotional service. So through that serving mood, one comes in contact with Krishna. While it's very difficult to see Krishna face to face, shakshad darshan, face to face. But Krishna comes in different forms that we can see him. So to focus the consciousness on Krishna within the heart is that comes naturally through bhakti yoga. But if you try to do that in a different way, it's really a different methodology. That's the practice of yoga. And if in the end of the third canto in Kapila Dev's teachings, he explains how to do that. But it's a very, Astanga yoga is a very involved process that takes many, 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 many lifetimes practically to perfect. What do you think? Well, it's best to chant Krishna's name at first. And then as one becomes more advanced, one can think about Krishna's pastimes. Best to try to focus the mind, get in the habit of focusing on the sound vibration of Krishna, of Hare Krishna, and get the mind trained to always chant Krishna's names and to listen as we chant. That's the first. And in that is Krishna fully manifest. Abhinatam nama namano. Nama chintamani Krishnas. The name of Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, is the form, his conscious form of rasa. Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto. It is fully complete, pure, it has nothing to do with the material world, it is eternally liberated. Abhinatam nama namano. And the name is no different from the Krishna, the person. But if you hear a pastime of Krishna that you like lifting Krishna, lifting Govardhan Hill, yeah, of course you can think about that. Not that you shouldn't think about Krishna's, but we should. Pastimes of the Bhagavatam and Krishna. Do you read Krishna books sometimes? But the prime focus, generally speaking, is on Krishna's names. And all that will come into play as our meditation and love for Krishna deepens, as Krishna reveals himself. And service, because that's the first thing we have to do, is
Because now we're in the mood of master, so we have to become servants. Any other questions or comments? Interesting one. Yep.
You said right in the beginning that whatever your thoughts are, at the moment when you die,
dictate where we take our next breath. But not just thoughts, whatever our bhava is, whatever our mood is. Saratad bhava bharata. Yeah, exactly. Yes. But you hold on to where you think your shelter is. The consciousness does that in the midst of all that, all the terror. And that will dictate. Yeah, it's true.
You could be in so much fear or distraction, and then you'll be able to remember your whole devotional life. You might be able to be aware of Krishna while I know of what's happened to
you. Yeah, so we practice trying to remember Krishna and develop love for Krishna and deep, deep trust and faith by living a life that develops these things.
So for somebody who's spent most of their life in and out of Krishna consciousness, or at some point it's really involved in something, so their consciousness might be not the same as someone who's like a fixed up devotee right away from Chile. If they're thinking about their pet dog Fred when they was a kid, does that mean what they've become?
Their pet dog Fred?
Yeah.
No, but they may become Fred. Friend of Fred. Kennel buddies. Because, yeah, it's what you absorb your consciousness in. So the idea, obviously, is to develop love for Krishna and having taken shelter fully of Krishna. And then the time of death is between us and Krishna, how he deals with us and how we deal with him. Don't think about your pet dog, Fred. Huh?
It's not really a bit morbid.
Well, there's a healthy element of it too, because it's inevitable if we think we are the body. His master. Yeah, then he takes the human body, so it's good. Having a dog is good for the dog, but not good for the owner. So don't have lots of dogs out of your compassion. Yeah, the dog, that's what... It's actually true. When I was a kid, I had a parakeet. And he was a wild sort. Parakeet, they don't have those. Do they have those in Australia? What do they call them? Huh? Budgies. Yes, a budgie. Now that sounds a lot more. Sounds like an old lady will have to me. But I was just a mere lad. Well, the parakeet, he was blue. And he had a friend, another parakeet, a yellow one, who got along very well and they didn't need me very much. Except, of course, I had to feed them. It's not a really long story. But, so I'd always try to, put him on my finger. He'd never stay on my finger or on my shoulder and things like that. It was quite disappointing. Then the yellow one died. He was older. And then this blue one, one day, One night, actually, I remember it really clearly, he came and he flew. We used to leave the door of the cage open, and he flew out and he flew to my bed where I was sitting. And he was talking to me. I couldn't understand a word he was saying, actually. But he was talking, and he went on my finger, and he went on my shoulder, and I thought, finally, he's made friends with me. And the next morning, he was dead. Is it a sad story? Sorry. But what you said reminded me of that, because he was trying to, you know, just imagine, you're this little parakeet, and there's this huge fellow living outside. He's the one who feeds you. He's big. He can go outside. He can do so many things. They have their conceptions. They have their ability to understand this in their own way. You know, he's the master. He's the shelter. He's the feeder. So when he knew, he must have known he was ill and was something. And he tried to take shelter of me.
So do you have any people in your life that remind you of the parakeet?
You mean, are there any birds in my life? Is that what you're asking me? Oh, I see what you mean. Go like this, Edward. We'll see. Yeah, are you being silly now, Edward?
No, could be. Could be your kids
all time. All right. It's time to go to sleep. You guys. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Tomorrow we shall continue, but back to the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada came down.